This is the Seahawkers Podcast, live and uncatfished. I'm Brandon Schultz of the Military Seahawkers, and joining me, my good buddy, Clinton Bonner. How you doing?
I'm good, Brandon. It's, it's a little 9:30. I'm even off on the East Coast here, and it's exciting, right? Exciting day, man. We got the cut down day. We got some surprises to talk through. We got some folks leaving that maybe we thought would stay. We got some dudes making it that, we probably didn't know about a couple of weeks ago. So it's a good day. We're turning over a new leaf, and this is like we're through the March, through April, through May, through all the crap, Russell Wilson stuff. And now we have our new team. And that feels okay, man.
Were there surprises, though? I mean, was there anything that you were really, really surprised by?
Yes. Not by a cut. I was surprised that Collier still had a place. And I'm not trying to be really, I'm not like digging on Kim. I just, the linebacker 3-4, the whole scenario, the whole front end scheme, it's going to be interesting. I still don't know if he makes the start. They call it the initial 53 now, right? They don't, that's how they frame it. The initial 53. He to me was the biggest one. It's like, were there dudes we cut or can go get that are better players than him? I still think yes. So that was probably the biggest surprise. But how about you?
Your biggest surprise was that they kept a player that you thought that they should have gotten rid of.
Yes, that is correct. That was the biggest one, because we talked all week about, hey, could Coleman go? Like he didn't play great. He took bad angles. He missed tackles. He looked, a couple of steps backwards from where he was a couple of years ago with us when he was a really good, good nickel. And we talked about Blair, and Blair just kind of unfortunately dug his own grave with just missed tackle after missed tackle after missed tackle, to the point where I listened to Pete's presser before, about a half hour ago, and they asked him about Blair, and he was just kind of like matter of factly like, yeah, he's a good ball player. We want to give him a chance to catch on somewhere else, and best of luck. It wasn't like doors always open. It was like best of luck. So seemed pretty finite with Blair. So I didn't have surprises there. And by the way, you framed the question. I'm not sure you did either.
Well, I think with this roster, it's hard to get upset about any particular moves on the fringes with this group of guys. There wasn't, every season I kind of have a guy that I really, really like based on the preseason. Okay, I fall in love with somebody, Seahawks football love, and then they get cut, and then I'm distraught in some sort of way, and then they never catch on anywhere else. So then I know that, why did I go through all this emotional letdown in the first place? If I had to pick a guy that was my preseason crush, it was probably safety Josh Jones, and he made the team. Mm-hmm. So you with Miles Adams, I'm fine. And I guess that's what happens when your preseason crush does make the team, then yeah, you don't have to be disappointed at all. But we should get into some of the 53 man roster, the guys who did in fact make this team. Quarterback, obviously not a lot of surprises. Geno Smith, Drew Lock. The order of these is somewhat interesting to me. Not with this one, obviously, with Geno Smith and Drew Lock, but I don't know who makes the list at Seahawks.com in terms of which guy. Is it just the writer who is putting this out, the name that comes to mind first? Because then, okay, you have at running back Rashad Penny, DJ Dallas, Travis Homer, Kenneth Walker III making the team. That could be based on performance. DJ Dallas had an excellent preseason. Receiver, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, D. Eskridge, Marquise Goodwin, Penny Hart, and Dariq Young. Now, wide receiver was one area where I think there were at least some questions, because you had Bo Melton, 7th round pick. You had, I can never remember his name. That's how little he showed in the preseason. But some people were surprised by the other wide receiver that was cut.
Our Fuller, Kate Johnson,
Eric
Fuller,
no.
Who are we talking about here?
Yeah, Freddie Swain. See, you couldn't come up with the name either. Geez.
Wow, holy cow! That's disrespectful. Yeah, Freddie Swain. That was not on purpose. It wasn't meant as a joke. There wasn't not too much surprises here, because I think out of the wide receivers, this was one of the most intriguing, but yet not too surprising. And the thing I was thinking about, and I wrote this down earlier, which means I was thinking, was we talked about a couple of weeks ago when we picked up Goodwin, that Goodwin was de-escourage insurance.
Right.
It's like, if we can't, if that ain't going to work, well, you know, if he just stays injured or whatever it might be, well, Goodwin can be pretty much, you know, everything, you know, D can do, and maybe even better. He's done it longer, even though he's older now. He's still a burner. If you look at the way they shaped up the wide receivers, they kind of got the space balls, you know, stunt double of each guy lined up just in case of injury. So like the next closest thing to Tyler Lockett, now Bo Melton looked like he was coming out of the draft, but he didn't catch the ball.
Right.
Bottom line is he did not catch the ball. Penny Hart, still more special teams value, and caught the ball and had that big touchdown. He's kind of the B-rated clone or C-rated clone of Tyler. And then Derek Young is the big body guy who impressed from Jump Street. And Carroll was
except glowing for the drops. I mean, that wasn't so impressive, but
enough. Yes, the drops and enough times showing how to use the body to get position on slants and things over the middle. And yes, the drops are there, but the things that DK can do quite well. He's not the freak athlete DK is, but he's a darn good athlete. The dude's running 4.4s. He's tall. He's big. So I thought they kind of went like carbon copy as best they could to say, if this dude goes down, we have a facsimile, maybe a little less graded facsimile, but a facsimile of that person. And we want that type of person to run the Waldron offense. And I think that's where we got those six. That's my theory, Brandon. What do you think?
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. Moving on to tight end, you have Will Dissly, Noah Fant, Colby Parkinson on the offensive line. And this is where I get to the point of what order is this list in? Charles Cross, Abraham Lucas, Jake Curran, Stone Forsythe. So there's your four tackles, I suppose. Then you got guards, Gabe Jackson, Damian Lewis, Phil Haynes, and then Austin Blythe, Kyle Fuller. Okay, so maybe it goes in order of outside to in.
It's towards the middle there. And the last one there, Fuller, that to me could be on the same exact wavelength of is there somebody better? You know, because we cut Dakota Shepley, fine. He did not play well enough. It is what it is. A couple of seasons of like, oh, this guy could be good. He got his chances. He just, you know, NFL caliber. It looks like he was not. Fuller, I know they like versatility. However, you got Phil Haynes who could slide up and down the line. You got Damian Lewis, who's already played center and played center well in a spot start. I don't fully get keeping Fuller just for the sake of having a backup center when we have backup centers. And I think we could do more with that spot. So that's another one for me that I'm going to underline and say, I'm not too sure he makes the full on 53 when that happens. I don't know how you feel about Fuller, man, but he hasn't been even a C. You know, he's like a D style player, and I don't think that's good enough.
He's the ninth guy on this list, I think, for a reason. And he's able to play center and guard. So I'm fine with it. This is at the margins that I don't really concern myself with in terms of he's been fine over the past few years, and he can. Would I rather have a better option? Sure, but I don't think there was a better option that showed up in the preseason for the Seahawks. Now we could get into what other teams, other players have released, and see if there's other guys out there that. Yeah, maybe there are some opportunities for improvements, and yeah, Fuller would probably be on the list. I mean, Colby Parkinson didn't even show me that much at tight end to where I would have been devastated if he hadn't made the team.
By the way, I totally agree with that one too. It's like, you know, we're a couple of seasons into it now, and he just doesn't seem that dynamic. You know, it's like can we swing for more upside? You know, we have two high caliber, at least B level. And then I think Noah Fant can be a real plus tight end. I'm okay if they want to go elsewhere with Parkinson too. I'm also okay if they say, hey, one more year, let's see if he could develop. He just hasn't shown enough to me when he's got chances. You know, he's 6'11" basically. And when he has chances to go up and catch the ball, he's dropped the ball. You know, it's like, we need that dude. If his thing is to be like a red zone target in this now for Geno, but he's just not coming down with the ball. He's like Jimmy Graham who can't catch in the red zone. That's pretty worthless, man.
And there was one notable tight end released by the Buffalo Bills that could be an option too. But I think you want some youth at the position too. I don't know if you necessarily need to go out and sign any vets to bring on, because that was the one thing I think was the standout takeaway from a lot of these cuts and who made the team was the kind of the leaning toward the youth movement, right? You talk about the cut of Justin Coleman on the defensive side. And yeah, I see Ron Pepper saying, didn't we like Justin Coleman, or am I confusing him with someone else? Well, I feel like Justin, when he was playing special teams and he was the one standing on the goal line and where he could have made a pretty incredible play, he didn't have the body space thing worked out in his mind to where he could have made that play. And, you know, when you make big mistakes like that as a veteran, I think it makes it easier for the coaching staff to say, well, let's go with the younger guy and the upside rather than the veteran. And hey, maybe down the road, if we need you, we'll give you a call.
Yeah. And I think that paves the way for Kobe Bryant to likely be starting in the slot, right? Which is going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. We know we're probably going to take some hits early because the dude's brand new. And he's been an outside corner across from Sauce for a couple of years now, right? And playing really high level at Cincinnati. And now they're going to move him to slot. And I just think they just believe enough in his you know, thoroughness, I think is a way to put it. His just overall skill that he'll be solid. And again, I'd rather roll the dice that way. And I'd rather, if we're going to be 2-4 and he's taken some lumps early, but halfway through the season, it really clicks. Let's do it now. Let's get that going now. And maybe we won't be 2-4. Maybe it'll be 4-2. You know, like maybe they're just good from jump street and we'll see it. There's another one over here too that I thought was interesting. Folks are asking that. Corey saying, one of the comments saying, we need to draft a center and have Blythe as a backup. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe I haven't seen enough of like the ones together and Blythe out there doing his thing with the ones, with the running game going to be like, yeah, that sounds about right. All I could go off of is what I've seen so far. And of all the units in the preseason, offensive line was the best, most consistent unit. And he played. And he might not be the pancake machine that the other guys are, but your centers rarely are. And with that, maybe he's just a C+B center, but he knows how to set things up the right way and call things. Heard Gino talk about that in his press conference, saying that, you know, Blythe really sets the stage and knows how to call things where Gino rarely has to change them. That's got to be worth something, right? You know, like, and in fact, from a center position, it's probably worth a lot. So I don't know that we have to, you know, look for a center. Maybe we have a B center, and with this line, with some dudes around him, it's actually going to be plenty for that position.
Yeah, Blythe will be fine for the season. I don't know if he's a long-term answer, but I think I agree with Corey to the extent that come draft time next year, yeah, we should absolutely look forward to maybe drafting a center.
You just want to get in the DeLorean. You want to go in the Wayback Machine, and you want to hammer that Creed Humphreys. And one thing I'm so looking for, and I don't blame you. I get it. You know, I get the rationale. And with that, I'm so looking forward to D being a consistent contributor this year. Not that it will say we should have, you know, it was okay to draft D, but that you're at least warm to it, and you're like, okay, you know, you're happy we have,
right?
We have
at D, least every time I see his name, I don't think of Creed Humphrey rather than the man whose name I'm actually looking at. So yeah, that would be fine.
That'd be nice, right? Awesome.
One man's name I'm looking at right now, Ryan911. Let's call him our executive producer of live shows. Ryan, always coming in with the super chats.
I mean, absolutely. Every single time and you know, consistent, and thank you. And I love that, right? The put that on your resume. If you use a CV, whatever you use out there, right? You know,
Live and uncatfished executive producer.
It's got a ring. Very nice.
As we run down the list here, let's go back to corner. Since we were talking corner, again, the order here interests me, and I wonder if this is your starting nickel, backup nickel with Kobe Bryant, Artie Burns, and then you're starting outside corners potentially with Sidney Jones and Michael Jackson, and then backup corners, Tariq Woolen, John Reed as the six here. Do I feel like I maybe have that nailed?
You got the things right, the positions. Now, you know, whether we got the right emphasis and the right syllable, we'll find out. And I really think the whole thing anchors on Sidney Jones's noggin.
Sure.
He's still not playing, you know, and the way Pete's talking about his concussion, it stinks. I mean, their health is more important than anything. And with that, the way Pete's kind of talking about it day in, day out is I hate to think that it's like de-escrage level. However, at this point, it's several weeks where he's like, he's just not right yet. He's just, he feels okay, but he's not fully symptom free yet. So we have to take it easy.
Yeah. The way that I took that though, it was because it's preseason. Why would we be rushing a guy to play who we know is going to make the team and has a head injury? Yeah. We'll take it as it goes. Once week one rolls around, if he's right, then he'll be out there.
Yeah, and I hope he is. I totally hope he is. I did not love what I saw with Artie Burns. Now, it wasn't a lot.
That's why I put him as backup nickel behind Kobe. Yeah, that's
why I'm giving your flowers here, man. I agree. I'd rather just see Kobe out there. And hey, what I don't want to see is Sidney Jones is hurt, so Artie Burns takes one of the starting corner positions, and you know, Jerry Judy's going off for, you know, 8 and 161, and we're crying about it because it's like, oh my gosh, like really? I don't want to get to the position where we're like, really? We started Artie Burns, like he was the best we could do. Meanwhile,
I'd rather start John Reed, who was the
exactly, dude.
We're right on the same page there. And I do see some questions that are coming in. I do want to get to some of these other questions, but I want to kind of get through the 53 real quick before we get into some of those. But sure. Defensive line. We're talking interior guys here. And one of the surprises, I think you mentioned LJ Collier, but just the fact that the number of defensive linemen that they kept because of this now 4-3 defense, guys like Daryl Taylor and Ochenna Nwosu are listed at linebacker. And so defensive linemen, for them to keep seven defensive linemen, and we're talking Puna Ford, Al Woods, Brian Monet, Miles Adams, no shocker there with those. Quentin Jefferson, Shelby Harris. See, it's weird that Shelby Harris is this low, depending on how they, it could be Puna Ford at nose. And then would you go Al Woods, Brian Monet, all at,
they're going to rotate. Yeah, they're going to rotate so much with this group. Did you see the graphic that the Seahawks team put out, the Seattle Seahawks Twitter? And it was like it was a four-way, it was really cool. It was actually pretty like innovative for a tweet. So it was a four-way picture. So four different pictures. And then it said like tap to open. And when you tapped one of the four squares, it unfolded and showed you like almost like a trifold standing vertical.
Okay.
And in that, what was interesting was Shelby Harris was the player they blew up by himself. And then the rest of the names were listed.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. Even for wide receivers, they peeled out Tyler Lockett. It was like the Tyler Lockett show. And then the rest of the names were listed. So it was pretty, to answer or at least allude to the point here, like, I don't know if there's so much of like, you know, something to crack here in terms of how are they doing it? Especially
I'm
when
trying
it's
to
like,
crack it. I
know. I know.
You understand.
I know you got the decoder ring out, the Da Vinci code is firing and the whole thing already.
What does it mean?
I don't think it means much here. And I still think Collier is, I'm not sure he's, I just don't know if he's actually making this team.
I think like there is an injury issue with LJ Collier though too. And just like there is an injury issue with Damian Lewis, these are guys that you wouldn't put on, if you put them on injured reserve now as veterans, I believe they're out for the entire season. Whereas you can carry Damian Lewis, LJ Collier, if he needs a few weeks to get right too, you put them on the 53. Then once the 53 is finalized, then you put them on their injury designation, and then you can bring back some of those players who were right on the fringes anyway.
You clearly know that process better than I do, so I'm just gonna believe
what
you
said.
Like that all makes sense, and probably Collier might not make this team when it's all said. But the point is seven defensive linemen because of this new 3-4, and then they jam all these people under the guise of a linebacker when really they're not linebackers. But a lot of them are not.
Right, Jordan Brooks, Cody Barton, your two starting interior linebackers, Nick Ballore, your one depth piece behind both of those. Man, oh man, That is some kind of depth at linebacker. Daryl Taylor, Uteno Nwosu on the outside, Boye Mafe, Alton Robinson. See, I would consider those as backup players to Daryl Taylor and Uteno Nwosu. And Joshua O, making Joshua the team.
Which is cool. He flashed. It was like Vi Jones and Josh O. It was kind of neat. It was number 49 and number 50 throughout the preseason. I was kind of vibing with Vi Jones, but then down the stretch, it looked like Josh O was, more of a standout. And Pete was glowing about him here as well. So it's maybe a high upside guy, or they just see enough from him. The bottom line is with our linebacking crew, first of all, like we said, Taylor, Nwosu, Mafe, Robinson, they're edge guys. Yes, it's a 3-4, but they're defensive ends. They're going to go in coverage a little bit, sure, but they're going to attack the quarterback, set the edge, play the run. Our interior linebackers, I don't know, I would say the bat signal, although he's Spider-Man, get KJ right back in the building, man. I mean, maybe it's time to just bring KJ back. What do you think?
I would be pro bringing back KJ Wright, because right? I think he can play better than Cody Barton. And I suppose that once we get going, if it turns out that Cody's fine, then maybe you just wait. I'm going to wait and see before I put out the bat signal for Spider-Man.
Let's put up the bat spider signal, and let me just proposition you here real quickly. Uh-huh. Would you swap right now, if it all could work out with logistics and who has to go where and 53 man, this, that, and the other thing, KJ for LJ?
Yeah, that too.
Right.
KJ for anybody. So that's my answer.
But it doesn't matter if Barton is your starter, and I think he should be the starter.
I think KJ would only come back though if he's playing more snaps than less.
I don't know. He
just wants to be on the team. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. If he comes back, he's just a depth piece, and it's the linebackers. They're going to rotate people. It's not like, you don't play, and you're KJ, right? You're going to get on the field. And by the way, there's going to be injuries. It's the game of football.
That goes away from the youth movement idea. But I guess I would just rather see them play a lot of dime. Let's see a lot of dime out there.
Just two linebackers and that's it. Like a lot of, five safety / DBs back there, which I hope we see a lot of, which I think, speaking of safeties, we've yet to get to that group.
I think that one is probably the one that least surprising. Has Quandre Diggs, Jamal Adams, Josh Jones, who was my preseason crush, Ryan Neal, who didn't play in the preseason, but we've seen enough from Ryan Neal that despite injuries, we would know that he would make the team. And undrafted free agent Joey Blunt making the team.
Cool. And nice surprise. A little bit of a surprise, and also like always fun when a UDFA, is on the squad. It's just, those stories are remarkable, right? So, yeah.
Well, Josh O, the other UDFA, exactly. Right?
Yeah, totally cool that we got two of them, plus the aforementioned Miles Adams, who was, UDFA for a few years now from Carolina. So, we're chock full of these. And, Sojin's spot on here. It's now the thing is, when healthy, it should be okay. The alignment, it's on screen there for those who may be catching audio just later. Sojin saying our linebacker core was strong, a strong area for years, and now it's our weak point. I can't argue with that. We just wax poetic as to why it is that case, and it's because of depth. With that, we didn't see Jordan Brooks once this entire preseason, I don't think, right? And with good reason. We don't need to see Jordan Brooks. Healthy Brooks, Barton, that's allowed to go, like, just kind of go chase the ball. We could be okay there. Especially if we're getting consistent pressure with that front seven and our safeties are good. So if you got to be weak somewhere in the modern NFL, maybe inside linebacker is not the worst place to be a little weak.
Sojin coming in says, P.S. rather have Blair over LJ. I was attached to Blair too. And so it was a bummer to see him cut, but it wasn't a surprise just based on what we saw from him in the preseason going into your third season.
Guys, we could only latch on so long when Blair missed that kick for us as a member of the Vikings. We can only credit him so long there. And to say he should be here over LJ.
Marquise Blair Clinton.
Got it. Sorry. Once again,
Blair Walsh.
The name that reminds me, that's all.
Uh-huh. Yeah. JJ Arcega-Whiteside among the wide receivers.
Legend.
Legendary Seahawks
legend. Yeah.
JJ Arcega-Whiteside. And a little bit confusing as to, I mean, for some, like Robert McMurray saying here in the chat, we trade Ugo for JJ, who we cut. Stupid move. I mean, it wasn't a terrible move because the Eagles, they go ahead and they jettison Ugo to the Titans, and we jettison Whiteside to the scrap heap. So I think it's just kind of both players, neither team really cared about, but you have the trade to see if it works out, and it didn't work out in this case.
I think people are getting, you know, the old peas in the bunches because they're like, oh, they took Ugo and got, you know, some sort of future 2024 picks. And then we got, you know, Arcega and he's cast away. Okay. I understand that. You know, let's find something else to worry about that then 2024 future, you know, potential seventh rounder that they're going to go get because they maybe moved a pawn one way that we didn't do it. So, you know, tip your hat to the Eagles front office and I'd say let's move on.
I think it was a move like keeping Joey Blunt that they probably knew a couple weeks ago to where they said, okay, Joey's going to take that Ugo role and let's move on from him and see if there's a receiver that ends up working out that, you know, was a second round pick not too long ago and see how he looks. And they got a chance to see how he looks. So yeah, it's one of those moves. I'm not going to get too upset over.
No, it's not going to make or break this season or future season. So that's my take on that part.
Robert also comes in and says, do you believe Alex Leatherwood would be a good addition if we somehow get him as a backup guard? And Leatherwood released by the Las Vegas Raiders, a first round pick not too long ago. And yeah, potential guard there for the Seahawks. You would have to add him to your active roster. I know just in terms of how things work. Well, let me put it this way. Some people, they think it's going to be difficult to stash a guy to the practice squad. Like, oh, I didn't want to see him cut Bo Melton because, you know, somebody's going to go out there who really wanted Bo Melton, even though he was drafted in the seventh round. Yeah. And they saw so much from him, even though you didn't see a whole lot from him in the preseason. They're going to snatch him up right away. It's probably not going to happen. He's probably going to make it to the Seahawks practice squad. And that's a guy who would be a great candidate for it. So it's you can't necessarily. And then. So just with that mechanic in mind, you can't pull somebody out from a player like Leatherwood. Maybe the Raiders see him as a practice squad player at this point. You would have to add him to your 53 if you want to make sure that he's on your roster. You can't sign him to your practice squad unless it's kind of a right of first refusal type thing.
Gotcha. And you know, My take on Leatherwood is no, thank you. You know, it's and that comes from, you know, watching him play football and also watching the dudes at like bootleg football, you know, like watching Brett Coleman really dive into that pick and just be like, this is bizarre. And he
was a bizarre for a first rounder, but if you're talking about a guy who maybe developed into a backup player, that
right. And with all that and everything you just prefaced that with, like, you know, I said it earlier, our offensive line, I think, was our best unit.
Yeah.
And which is just, by the way, just, you know, I forget what it was. It might've been, I think it was the Man to Man podcast I was listening to this last week. And they were talking about the offensive unit and they were like, just, you know, there's always like this bias in our brain where, you know, something that happened previously wasn't as bad. Like it's really bad in the moment. And then it kind of washes away over time. And our recollection of the bad, like, dissipates. Oh, it wasn't that bad. But a couple of years ago, our preseason offensive line, and then like our game one offensive line was disgusting. Remember a couple of games, I think we were playing the Raiders in the preseason a couple of years ago. And like whoever was playing quarterback did not have literally like a half a second. And this is who we're trotting out there to see if we had any talent there. So to juxtapose that versus this unit right now, it's just, I think, in my opinion, it's the biggest thing to celebrate in our last 6 months, because it's been tumultuous. And I'll say it again, if we got a starting left tackle and starting right tackle in the first three rounds of the draft, We're set up. I'm not saying we're going to go far this year, but foundationally, we're set up to be a good team for a long time. So I'm just super bullish on what the O-line has showed us.
Long time listener, Ron Pepper checking in. Yes. I didn't hear about the Ugo trade. Seahawkers podcast, do better. You do better, Ron. We talked about it in episode 380 of the Seahawkers podcast. So go back, re-listen to 380 and check back with me. And I expect an apology on your do better.
Perfect. And we got James Watson here chiming in with, next year, I say our top six picks would be, this is bold, James, QB, LB, C center, mm-hmm. defensive tackle, and then free safety, right? DT, free safety. James, that's as good a guess as I think any of us can put out at this point. I think the QB one is one that, you know, Vegas would say you're probably right on about, and I think you will be. Makes sense. We would take a QB in the first round. And I agree. We had chances. There were some really good linebackers in this draft, and we did pass on some where we kept taking like our double shots, like Bo Melton, you know, and Derek Young, and then Tyreek Smith late, who just couldn't make it on the field. He's you know, designated injured, right? It would have been cool to maybe spread a few more chips around, but I really think the philosophy was try to double up, see, and if we hit one, because we talked about this when we drafted. It was like double up on tackles, double up on edge guys, double up on wide receivers, and double up on corners.
Right.
And if we hit one of those four, you know, of those eight, you know, if you're doing the math, then we have four people who make the team. And guess what? We hit on the two tackles, we hit on both corners, we hit on one of the wide receivers, and we hit on one of the edge guys. Okay. Six out of eight made the squad. That's pretty freaking good. So I can't be mad we didn't throw a chip at a linebacker, because what if it was we kept Bo Melton, threw a chip at a linebacker, and then Derek Young went somewhere else as a UDFA? Very possible multiverse scenario.
Right.
Derek Young looks like a ball player, you know, and he made the squad. So overall, I think I could still be very happy with how this draft played out and then how it played out through the preseason.
Yep, they definitely found quite a few guys that ultimately made the team, and we hope it's successful. I mean, we've seen drafts in the past where a lot of those players make the team, but ultimately don't work out in the long run too. But I'm remaining positive with this particular draft class. You know, speaking of the draft too, Sojin saying, I hope we play the long game and try to get Arch Manning trade down in next year's draft.
That's the long game. That's a version of the long game for sure. You know, the cool part is I'm not a huge college football guy. However, this year, I certainly will watch a lot more of like the highlight shows,
yeah.
Right? And just like and keep an eye on that quarterback watch, because nowadays between podcasts and just so much content out there, there'd be a weekly QB watch that somebody's putting together. Actually, something Brandon that you Brandon, Adam, and I should probably be on the watch and lookout for, and just be like, oh, just sharing that out, you know, the Ring of Honor, sharing it on the Discord, because it's probably going to be very interesting just to kind of start to get opinions on who do we like best? Like who's the style? Who do we think is going
to
fit it?
I'm going to reserve my judgment on that based on how interesting our actual season is. If we're three or four games in and we look like we really stink and there's nothing else to really look at with our regular season team, yeah, we're probably going to start looking at the draft a little bit earlier than usual.
Yeah, Christmas comes a little early that year. That's all right. The wish book shows up at the doorstep a few months early. You start putting the wedge in the corners and circling the Millennium Falcon, the ones you want, and you'd make your wish list a little earlier than normal. Maybe that happens this year. Hopefully, it's like we're not even thinking about Christmas, and it's we're cutting the turkey and we're still playing meaningful football.
So we do have a practice squad to wait for an announcement on. Out of some of these names, who are guys that you hope remain with the team and end up on the Seahawks practice squad?
I thought I saw enough from Bo Melton. I think it's a perfect candidate. So I think you nailed that earlier. His tape just looked good, and then he just dropped the frigging ball. Like, so I don't know. Who knows? Clean that up. That'd be the first one there. I have to go through the list of cuts. In fact, do you have the list? And I could pull a few more that I'm into.
Yeah, some of the players who were waived. Obviously, we talk about Whiteside, Blair, DeBlanco, the linebacker, Jacob mm-hmm. Eason. He's a guy I could see sticking around. Although, another potential backup quarterback option, the Vikings release Kellen Mond.
Oh, wow. He played pretty well. And the Eagles released Carson Strong.
Oh, all right.
I'd take a flyer on. I mean, it doesn't matter. we know what Eason is. Eason can't throw a ball accurately over 15 yards. Right. He will throw it very, very fast, by the way. he just won't hit. He won't hit the target. Unless you're playing, you know, FCF football, where he could just throw it short, sure, but he's not long for the NFL. So I'm all for, you know, flyers on QBs that can maybe make it back in some potential way. But fire off a few more.
Oh, yeah. Greg Island, the tackle.
Nah. Yeah.
Sure. Aaron Fuller, wide receiver. Okay. Look at other wide receivers. Cade Johnson, another name at wide receiver, along with Freddie Swain.
I like Cade Johnson. I still think he's got that sensibility to play in the NFL and find little crevices, sit down, and be a dependable fourth receiver on an NFL team. Maybe not the most beautiful ceiling, but I think even if he's playing this year, right now, I think he would contribute. So that's a dude I would like to see stick with the organization.
Yeah, I'd be fine with him sticking around too. Jared Hewitt at defensive tackle. Any other names on the defensive line here? Not seeing any.
Hewitt's okay. I've seen him make a couple of nice plays this last pass game, crashing down the line and just making some nice tackles around the line of scrimmage. He's been consistently an okay dude. So, you know, if he could sit there and develop in the system a bit more. It's also, remember, the practice squad's not just a practice squad. People get hurt.
Yep. He's a guy I can see sticking around.
It's the on deck circle for an injury. So, you know, Hewitt would not be a bad thing to have there.
Tanner Muse, Lakeham Williams, and Vi Jones, all at linebacker, guys that you could see.
Yep.
A couple of those guys maybe sticking around. Yeah. There's nobody that I don't know if I'd be broken up if they didn't make the practice squad. Tyler Mayberry.
No, I agree. I like Vi Jones. You know, I professed my semi crush for him throughout the preseason. He flashed enough for me that I think there's a lot of potential there. And from what I understand, he hasn't played football all that long. Right. Like, he's kind of new to the game. So when you get dudes like that, I'm totally in for get that guy around professionals and see if they could take that next step up. So that'd be one I would love to see if he sticks around.
Benjamin Jarvis pointing out, though, Geno GOAT season, PFF score 90.4, second best in the NFL for the preseason. So there you go.
Not bad. I mean, hey, it is. We talked about it.
I think Kellen Mondo's on that list too, though. By the way,
hey, it's okay. It's you know, I've got to. I turn the page quickly in just most things in life. It's like, well, that was the decision. It wasn't my decision. I've got to commit to. I'm not leaving the team. You know, I cheer for this, right?
Yeah.
And Gino's the guy.
Oh, look at you. So Hoes Anonymous worked for you.
Who's that again? Who's this? I don't ever remember that part of my life. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I asked for questions. There's a question from Chris. Where's Crackling Adam? Crackling Adam is on the road, driving back to his house. He should be arriving back in Montana this evening. So actually, he should be in Montana by now, but just not back at his house yet. So
yeah, Montana's gigantic.
Yeah. It takes a few hours once you get in the state.
Yeah.
And Chris, come on. We worked out the crackling issue. We did a whole second episode that was just fine with no Crackling Adam.
Not a crack, not one crack. When you first got that moniker, the Neil Diamond Cracklin' Rosie was like, you know, rummaging through my head. So I just, now I've got that in my head once again, which is,
there you go.
It's worse things to be stuck in there.
Well, there is a look at our 53 man roster. Probably going to change by the time we do another show here in just a few days, but that's what we got initially. Thought I'd jump on with you, Clinton, and kind of break it down, see what we saw. And yeah, if there's some names released by other teams, especially linebacker, we'll be watching. That's a lot more to look forward to here in the next week before we take on stupid Denver Broncos.
Yeah, dumb, stupid Denver Broncos. Hey, it's been fun. To me, this kind of culminates the preseason. I know we still got a little bit more time, but it's been fun. It's been a very interesting and you know, newsworthy preseason, and at the very least getting on with the flock and getting on with the 12s and meeting some new people. It's been a blast, man. And I think the energy of, like, all right, we might not be great, but we are new, And I'm into new, man. I am into new. So let's rock and roll, dude.
Hey, see, people are asking questions now that we're trying to get on out of here. So I'm going to take a few more before we get on out. Sam Kirk, so do you see us beating Russ? Man, Sam, I envision it in my mind with the Let's Ride curse coming into full effect. And it's going to be a close one. At least I hope it's close, because the one thing I don't want to see is a Russell Wilson coming into to Lumen Field and delivering a blowout. I'm just trying to keep that out of my mind. And I think it's possible just because of the team knows Russ very well. And I think there's a great opportunity to get him early in the season when you go off of what you expect from Russ. And yeah, like Sojin said, three high safety. Yeah, just play everybody deep and then hope that guys like Daryl Taylor and Boye Mafe are sacking Russell Wilson. What do you suppose the over-under is for sacks against Russell Wilson? Is that going to be on the PNW prop stars? Russell Wilson's sacks for week one against the Seahawks.
I think it has to be, right? So we'll get, and then I've been checking the FanDuel app every single day to see, like, did they get the props out there yet? And they have not yet. It's still just the money line and the other things, the typical bets. You know, I think if I had to place it, if I'm Vegas, I probably put it at 2.5.
Seems like a good number.
So, you know, we get to him three times. I don't think the Denver Broncos offensive line is that good. I think it's okay. In fact, I think ours is better, which is going to be very, not even ironic, just kind of funny. I'd probably wager a few shekels that maybe we do take that. Oh, I like that, Ron. Yeah. Six deep. And
hammer Camden, that over if it's 2.5.
Absolutely right. And to Camden's question, like a better year, Taylor or Mafe? I think it's, it'd be a big surprise for me if Mafe has a better statistical year. Taylor should be, he's seemingly set up to follow that Frank Clark trajectory where he should be 10 plus sack, you know, like 11 and a half sack, disruptive all the time. And I don't expect that from Mafe in year one, nor do I expect Mafe to get that many snaps. He's not going to play when he's got to go cover that much, you know, second and long, third and long, go get the quarterback, young man, sure. But if I had to put money on it, I'd put Taylor to get over, get into double digits. And a nice season for Mafe, I think, would be, hey, if he gets 4 to 5 in his rookie year, I think that's quite enough, quite good.
Yeah, with Mafe, it's kind of, I think of him in that rotational role like Bruce Irvin was in his first year. And so my expectations are for Taylor to have a better year. And yes, Ron says 6 sacks. In the first half.
And just pile it all on, right? Just like, you know, touchdown Alexander with his touchdowns in the first half on Monday Night Football. We'll flip it to the defense. We'll get 6 sacks on Russell Carrington Wilson in the first half at Lumen Field with Richard Sherman raising the 12 flag and cackling from the Hawks nest down below because Russ has to carry, he doesn't have to carry the whole team on his shoulders anymore, right? He had to carry the whole team on his shoulders. And we will see Richard laughing at Russell Carrington Wilson week one.
And I think with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.